This is John Lothian with the commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for September 17th, 2020. Tom Thompson has a story leading off JLN today titled, Fed Star Witness in Spoofing Trial Gets Tarnished Under Cross-Examination. Here's the beginning of Tom's story. Another day of methodical testimony unfolded in Judge John Tharp's federal courtroom on Wednesday, the second day of testimony in the case of the Department of Justice versus James Vorley, Cedric Chenu. The defendants in the criminal case, who worked together trading precious metals at Deutsche Bank, are charged with wire fraud. They allegedly spoofed the gold and silver futures markets on COMEX. Vorley and Chenu were not charged with spoofing per se because some of the charges stem from activities from before Dodd-Frank became fully into force in 2011. Otherwise, the proceedings, which first got underway with jury selection on Monday, look and sound like a spoofing trial. The trial is being held in the Dirksen Federal Building with COVID-19 precautions. The trial takes up the entire courtroom to accommodate social distancing. Everyone wears masks, and the press and the public in a nearby courtroom watch the proceedings on screens. On Wednesday, David Liu, another Deutsche Bank alumni and the most junior of the three Deutsche Bank traders who were charged with spoofing, spent the whole day in the witness stand. Liu, who worked for Deutsche Bank in Singapore, is a witness for the prosecution. To read the rest of the commentary, go to johnlothiannews.com. Here are some of the comments from the hits and takes section of today's JLN. It is Deutsche Börse's turn to buy a majority interest in one of our sponsors, this time Quantitative Brokers. I think the lesson here is if you want to sell your firm, become a sponsor of JLN. Hint, hint. Ask for our special sell your firm sponsorship deal. According to Tom Asher, QB, as Quantitative Brokers is known for short, was having a town hall meeting to explain the deal to their employees this morning. This is an opportunity for QB to accelerate its growth, leveraging assets from Deutsche Börse Group while maintaining QB as a separate company. The founders of the company will continue to run it. Tom Asher continues as executive chairman. QB is continuing to add new exchanges and venues and supporting more multi-EMS/OMS. They will continue to be an FCM broker-neutral value proposition. The NFA's quarterly board update is out. This is the second time we have had no video of people, but rather words and images with powerful music to tell the story. Rosenblatt is holding its 13th annual Global Exchange Leader Conference virtually this year, as is the way of the world. The event is invitation only, but you can register at a URL on their website and ask for an invitation. The event includes no press, so the speakers are pretty relaxed about what they can share. There was a time, though, when this journalist would attend the in-person version of the conference and even moderate a panel. Former CFTC Chairman J. Christopher Giancarlo had a commentary published in the U.S. Today Network titled, New Jersey Can't Justify Financial Transaction Tax. You can now register to become a member of the Materials Exchange. Go to materialsexchange.com. Here's a comment from Suzanne Cosgrove in JLN. The exchange behemoth CME Group offered few surprises but several highlights in a Wednesday presentation to Barclays Global Financial Services Conference. Notable points included a 12% increase in its metals complex year-over-year growth through September 11, 2020, a growth rate second only to CME equities products, which saw average daily volume rise 66% in the same period. Total exchange average daily volume was up 2% versus 2019 year to date, with agricultural commodities and interest rate products the lagging asset classes, down 10% and 19% respectively. A flat interest rate environment continued to weigh on rate volatility and volume, said Sean Tully, CME Global Head of Financial and OTC Products. Said the record treasury issuance projected through 2020, the result of high U.S. budget deficits, should increase demand for related hedging and risk management vehicles. Here's another comment from Suzanne. A status hearing in South Shore Restore versus Illinois Department of Financial and Professional Regulation, Brett Bender, Deputy Director, originally scheduled for today, September 17th, has been moved to Tuesday, September 22nd. As JLN reported previously, the case is related to the state's awarding of social equity licenses for 75 new cannabis dispensaries. Other stories from the first read section of JLN include a Bloomberg story titled Citigroup Employee Who Operated QAnon Website on Leave. Popular aggregator site shut down after Jason Galinas outed. QMAP promoted the conspiracy, had millions of visitors. Jason Galinas, an employee at Citigroup Inc., has been placed on paid leave pending an internal investigation after he was identified as the operator of the most prominent website dedicated to the QAnon conspiracy theory, according to three people familiar with the matter. Galinas, who lives in New Jersey, was identified September 10th as the operator of the website QMAP.pub and its associated mobile apps by the fact-checking site Logically.ai. Since then, the website has shut down and now simply provides a link to alternative websites offering information on the QAnon conspiracy. My comment is, I get the feeling Mr. Galinas is regretting some of his decisions. Bloomberg also has a story titled, U.S. is no longer land of opportunity for foreign MBA students. The pandemic and visa insecurity make U.S. programs less desirable. A deadly virus and tight visa rules have foreign business students second-guessing their choice of the U.S., leery of paying full tuition only to miss out on the networking opportunities and jobs that have made America the ultimate destination for an MBA. Foreign students have been a boon to business schools. The vast majority pay full freight, which can be more than $80,000 annually for a two-year program. International students account for almost half of Columbia's entering class this year. The Wall Street Journal also reported about the Snowflake IPO. Snowflake stock, what you need to know about tech's hottest IPO. Data managing firm's strong revenue growth and well-known backers have helped make it the biggest tech IPO of the year. Snowflake Inc., the symbol is Snow, has become Silicon Valley's hottest new public company. Here's what you need to know about it. What is Snowflake? San Mateo, California-based Snowflake was founded in 2012 to help companies manage data they store on the cloud. The remote servers and software services provided by the likes of Amazon.com Inc. and Microsoft Corp. that firms use to store and process vast amounts of information. Snowflake works with companies such as Capital One Financial Corp and video game maker Electronic Arts to help them manage and analyze their data. Snowflake, in its filing to go public, said it was vying for a market valued north of $80 billion. The Wall Street Journal also reported that Deutsche Bank tells U.S. staff they can wait until mid-2020 to return to the office. Lenders plan contrast with J.P. Morgan, which recently told many staff that they need to return to the office next week. Deutsche Bank AG told its U.S. employees they don't have to return to the office until July 2021. In a town hall Wednesday, America's Chief of Staff, Matthias Krauss, outlined the bank's plans for around bringing employees back to work. Many employees had asked for a clear policy as they deal with unknowns about school reopenings and the path of the coronavirus. NBC News reports almost 60% of business closures are now permanent. New Yelp data shows. Yelp on Wednesday released its latest economic average report revealing business closures across the U.S. are increasing as a result of the coronavirus pandemic's economic toll. As of August 31st, 163,735 businesses have indicated on Yelp that they have closed, a 23% increase since mid-July. Yelp also measures businesses whose closures have become permanent. That number has steadily increased over the past 6 months, now reaching 97,966, representing 60% of the closed businesses won't be reopening. The NFA board update mentioned earlier includes information about NFA's diversity and inclusion webpage, rule submission letter, proposed amendments to Code of Arbitration and Member Arbitration Rules, rule submission letter, proposed amendments to NFA Interpretive Notice 9053, Forex transactions, notice to members, effective date for updated interpretive notice regarding the supervision of branch offices and guaranteed IPs, COVID webpage. Here were the top three red stories from yesterday's JLN. The most read story was Bloomberg's My Trip Down the Crypto Rabbit Hole in Search of DAO Hacker, an excerpt from a new book by Bloomberg reporter Matt Leising. Second was What JP Morgan Has to Say About Young Employees Working from Home from Yahoo Finance. Turn out it's You Whippersnappers Get Off My Lawn. Third was a repeat from Tuesday's top three. These five habits will help you stay focused all day, a psychologist explains why, from Inc.com. Here are the MarketsWiki stats for this morning. The site has had 188,154,269 pages viewed. It has 24,430 total pages and has had 26,032 edits. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.